This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to another episode of Just a Tip, an advice podcast that's equally about its tangents as it is about its tips. I am your host, Megan Batune, and today, from the comfort of our own homes, thank you, quarantine, we have Ashley Nell Tipton in her beautiful jungle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How many plants do you think you have?
Oh, okay. Me and my roommate just counted like a month ago. We had maybe 50
are
in our
you
house.
Kidding?
Yeah.
What?
I mean,
how do you know what to do? How are they still there? Like, I have three and they've been gone since the minute oh my God.
Hold on. There's some over here. We just moved. And then we have some over here. We just took them out of this living room, which we had a bunch of them. And wow. We kind of broke them up.
This is amazing.
But I truly think plants are like a way of healing.
Yeah,
it gives you a new hobby. It's, to me, I feel like it's a sense of self-care because these plants are taking care of me by providing me with such positive energy, clean air, and I don't know, it just does something to me to keep something alive, to watch over it. I don't have any pets, no kids, no nothing, just my business and my boyfriend and like my plants. So I love doing them and taking care of them and seeing them mostly because they give me so much goodness.
Totally. Have you ever felt like if you're in a place that you need people to support you, like if you're in a down spot and your friends are loving on you, the one thing that I've realized is I feel really good when I'm there for somebody else. And like, I can't really get out of my own head unless I focus out and I go, oh, that person needs help too. And so if I can just put my stuff on the shelf, cause they're here for me, I can be there for them. Yeah. And then I feel better. Have you ever felt that way?
Most definitely.
That's like the same with plants.
It is like, I've never grew up with plants. Or me taking care of plants. And my family always had plants around me, my grandmother, my mom. And I didn't really have any animals to take care of. And I feel like this is like a sense of responsibility. Like you can't forget about them or they're all going to die. And like,
yeah,
during the process, you find out if you have a brown thumb or a green thumb.
And so, it's very apparent which color your thumbs are.
I mean, it surprised me. I was really surprised.
What's been another thing that surprised you that you were good at that you didn't think you would be?
Cooking.
Really?
Yeah, because my mom is such an amazing cook that I hated being in the kitchen with her. I'm like, you're so good at it. Why do I need to be in here? But it was her way of trying to teach me how to cook because one day I would have to do it. And she was like, no man's going to love you if you don't know how to cook. And I was like, that's not true. But I do believe that it does help, like that you do know how to cook, because then how are you supposed to eat? So That was one thing that I was surprised about doing.
And that's self-care too. Like, I feel I have almost zero plants in my house. Like, thank God these little fluffy, I think they're called pampas grass, like these little like fluttery Instagram flowers are in now. I'm like, thank God. Like, I have to do nothing. All I got to do is like lint roll and vacuum. I can do that. And so I feel like cooking is a very similar way of self-care too.
It's
feeding your, literally feeding your body and your soul by doing it.
And you find new things. Like we all struggle with it, like cooking or not knowing how to cook. And it's like, we have to eat every day. We need to provide ourselves with something. And it's either we like pick something that's healthy or unhealthy. And I'm always trying to find new stuff that I actually like to eat. Cause there's moments where I'll cook something and I'm like, oh, this is going to taste really good. And then when I eat it, I'm like, I'm not even hungry anymore. Oh my, why did I it's do like this? That's
when you slather it with Tapatio. I've been there. I'm like, cover this flavor up.
Right. I made an egg sandwich for myself the other day and I was like, this looks like a masterpiece. It's beautiful. And then when I bit into it, I was like, it's just not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, for everyone listening, you may know Ashley from winning Project Runway season 14 or from her own clothing line in Jewelry Lines, which we will get into a little bit later because I'm so fascinated. But after a quick internet stalk, I do this for all my guests, and I found out that you are really good at axe throwing.
I guess, apparently. I've only done it once in my life, and when I did it, I felt like a natural at it.
Really? Are you good at general hand-eye coordination, like pool or bowling?
I feel like I am. Bowling, I don't know about that. I think I have, when I'm bowling, I'm scared that I'm going to rip my nails off. So I don't like I do as well in that.
Sure. But
I would play sports all the time as a kid. I love playing tennis, soccer. Nice. So I think just doing something that could either be competitive or some type of sport, I love getting into it and making sure that I'm stepping or doing the motions correctly. So I'll keep practicing and practicing until I get it. I think that's why I love doing it.
Wow. Do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
That would make sense. I was gonna be like, oh my God, that's so, I feel like a lot of artists that work with, I mean, you're working with measurements. If you're off a half an inch, I mean, if you're off a millimeter, like the zipper's not gonna zip, you know? So you kind of have to be a perfectionist being a garment maker, being a designer.
Exactly. Like, I guess you have to find a happy medium with it, being a perfectionist and also a procrastinator, because being creative, we're constantly procrastinating.
Yes.
Because we know what our abilities are and we know that when there's less time, we'll do it. Like,
yeah.
So
like when a deadline happens, we're on.
Exactly. So we have this happy medium, but I think it's figuring out what you should be a perfectionist at and what you don't need to be nitpicking at. Like, thank God that I have a manager who helps me out with breaking all these tasks that I have to do every day and things that need to be done. And he was like, you're such a perfectionist. So when you asked me, are you a perfectionist? His voice literally popped up in my head and he constantly reminds me, Ashley, you're a perfectionist. Like, that's why I don't give you all these projects, because you'll wind up taking so long to do it because you want it the right way when the right way was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So, and then when you take so much time on that project and you get it to what you think is perfect, once it gets out there, sometimes it doesn't get the same response that you thought it was going to get. So then that's when we take our work very personal. And that's when we have to choose, what should we be a perfectionist at? Or, like, what's going to kill us at the moment and what's not?
I struggle with that my entire life. And I remember like I have not written any books yet, but I've started a few and I was like, I get so into it. And then I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. But one of the first ones, I think like the first chapter, the introduction was me making a case for perfectionism. I was like, this is why it's good. Because I feel like to be perfectionistic, you're taking so much pride in something, and whatever it's gonna be great because you took the attention to detail, like the time and order mm-hmm. to make sure it was there. And then it's this, your own personal built-in quality control. Like a non-perfectionist could make something and it wouldn't, it like break or not work. And, but like a perfectionist, you can bet on it being good. And so like, it is to our own detriment though, because you're right. There's a parable that's like, would you rather have 4 phones at 100% or like, I don't know, 10 phones at 20% that are all going to die?
And yeah, it's like looking at the glass half full or half empty. It's all what we see in mm-hmm. our eyes. And sometimes you do have to ask the other person, like, do you see what I'm seeing or is it okay? Like sometimes I will just overthink situations and then I'll pass it on to my assistant, and yeah. if they don't see what I'm seeing, I'm like, Ashley, let it go.
Oh my god, dude, yes. I remember a couple years ago I was doing a print, I do calligraphy, and I was doing mm-hmm. a print where one of the words was in color, and I was trying out this new printer and they gave us 4 different versions of the yellow that I was looking for, like this golden yellow, and each of the pictures was maybe like 2 millimeters of a difference of a color, of a shade mm-hmm. of yellow. And I was holding like 4 of them up in different lighting in my office. And I had one of my assistants come up and she was like, I literally am looking at the same thing. And I was like, these are different. It's like that Devil Wears Prada blue belt scene.
Yes.
And then she goes into that whole monologue, which I love, on my to-do list to memorize. But that's so funny. Like, it is huge to people that are so in tune and like have their hearts on the line for it. And oh, you're right. God. It's like, it's not that big of a deal. They're the same
it's
yellow.
I go through this. I probably remind myself once a day. Or my team, I don't know if they hate me for this, but I'll say, I don't care. Like, ooh. You make the decision.
Ah,
it's not saying like, I can care less, like, I don't care. But it's like, or I'll say, I don't have an opinion.
Ooh, that's a boss move.
Yeah, I feel like it might be like, I don't have an opinion. That's what I mean. It's not that I don't care. It's just like, I have more things to worry about right now mm-hmm. versus what color thread you should use on that project. Like,
yeah,
I've taught you enough that you should know, and I'm going right. to let you make that decision, you know? So it's just like, I guess in 2020, I've learned so much how to juggle, like, what I should stress on and what I shouldn't be stressing on, or what I should be a perfection on and what I shouldn't. So
yeah. How do you decide for anyone listening, how can other people decide what to spend a lot of their emotional energy on, do you think? Like, what's helped you in your specific circumstance of being like, I do not care about that thread. And I also have given you all the tools in order for you to be the one to make this decision. Like, how do you decide which things to care about more than others?
I think it's prioritizing myself, like trying to figure what's the bigger picture. Mm. And right now we've been making masks, and my whole thing is we're just trying to get masks out there. And who cares if, I mean, so we were having these Frida masks, and the print, you know, has different Frida faces, and me trying to be a perfectionist, I'm like, I got to cut them out right. I got to make sure that every mask is different and it has her face. And it's like, you do realize the more time you try to be a perfectionist, it's going to cost you. So you just need to like get it done. So I think of like how much time it's going to take me. Is it going to stress me out? Like, do I just pass on this project to somebody else who I trust that can handle it? So it's like knowing what you can handle and what you can't handle. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that you have a team to support you. Like, I'm still learning as I go. But I'm happy to be put in these situations and to learn from my mistakes.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I think that having the support is so important. And like, even for people that don't have a team of like managers or agents or assistants, your team is your family. Your team is your group of friends.
Exactly.
So like, they're here to support you. If you think that you have to do it alone, like, you don't have to. You have all these people in your corner that are waiting to be like called upon. You know, people have, they feel so good about themselves when they can help someone that they love. So people are waiting to feel good. And I feel like I need to be telling myself this. I only recently have started asking for help. And it's only when I'm at my wit's end, when like I'm on the last thread, is where I'll call someone and be like, can you please help me with this thing that you've been offering for literally our entire friendship? And it starts to feel good, because then I'm like, oh, it wasn't like a blanket statement or a, you know, empty offer. They really want to be here for you.
Yeah.
And it feels so good to not have to do it all by yourself. And for so long, I thought I was stronger because I did do everything myself, or that I could.
Yeah. And that's another thing, is like knowing what your capacity is, knowing where you either have to say no or you have to stop, because you're going to wind up burning yourself out. And why burn yourself out when you can do it just the more peaceful, calm way? I don't know. Like, during this whole pandemic and the whole mask industry popping up and us having to make masks and not having supplies because everything's shut down, it's like I've had to learn what to cry and break down about and what don't waste my time. Like, it's been an interesting, you know, trying to be in reality and then also trying to build a business or just take your business where it needs to go to be able to support what it is that you're doing. Because totally. Like, before all this pandemic, I felt like for the last 3 years, I haven't been doing anything but trying to run a business and trying to like hold my head above waters. And now that all of this has happened, it's like I've had to throw myself into all this work, which is beautiful, and like try to help people and donate masks and everything. And it's just really taught me so much patience, how to not be a procrastinator and, you know, not a perfectionist, and knowing when to ask for help, or I don't know how to do this, or can you help me find this or that? Like, it's just having trust in people.
My God, that just is trust. Huge. Trust is so huge. And I feel like once we are burned once, it's like something in our neurobiology. Is that a word? Who knows? Like, something in our minds and our bodies. If neurobiology isn't something, I'm making it something, because I'm merging mind and body in one. But something in us changes on a molecular level of not being able to trust people in the same way. Like, after you get your heart broken, you can't love the same probably ever. Like, I've always said, like, the first love is so unique and probably very unhealthy. But like, you know, I'm not saying that the loves that you have in your later in life, those are probably more real loves. But the first love is just like this unadulterated, kind of just balls to the wall, no holds barred, kind of dangerous, unconditional love, really. But like, after you get your first heart broke, your first heart, like, how many hearts do you have? how'd you get your heart broken for the first time? You learn to not let yourself do some of those things. And that's like learning from your mistakes. So I feel like trust is so easy to have. And then as soon as you break it, it takes forever to build back up. And especially in a team setting, it's like we have so many trust issues, and it's just, we're all just trying to figure out how to break down all of our walls to get back to how we were when we were loving for the first time.
And no, and everything you're saying is, it's so true. My manager has had to teach me how to be able to trust again. Mm-hmm. Because as human beings, we're so used to being hurt once that we try so hard the next time to not get hurt again. But we end up sabotaging ourselves.
Yes.
So it's just coming into the relationship already having trust and not making that other person try to make up for what that last person did to you to lose your trust. Like,
yeah.
I'm so glad we're talking about this because I have a Love You class that I was teaching before the pandemic had happened. And it was all about loving yourself and knowing the difference between need, wants, and to have trusting, like what is the fear of losing trust and the fear of certain things and just like how you live your life in the fear and the unknown. And I don't know, it's just a whole another way of thinking about certain situations. And him teaching me how to trust again, it's just like this, it was like this weight off of the shoulders of like, you don't have to stress yourself out. And the next time you're in that situation, like you just have to walk in it fresh, let go of all those insecurities. 'Cause once you handle them, you're not going to drag them on into the next relationship. I don't know if that makes sense.
It's like, it totally does. I think that there, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but there's a saying that's like, don't bleed. If you don't heal yourself, you're going to bleed on someone who didn't cut you. And it's almost like somebody else racking up a bunch of credit card debt and then them like disappearing and you still having all these bills. And then the next person that is in a space with you, you're like, hey, can you pay all these bills that somebody racked this debt up in? And they're like, no, like here's a charge for a car that I can't use. Here's a charge for an apartment that I'm not living in. Like, why would I pay for all these dues if I didn't rack them up? And that's what we do when we get into relationships and we haven't healed ourselves from being hurt by somebody else. It's not their load to bear.
It's not their fault. Like you gave them a job that they didn't sign up for.
Right. Like I didn't apply for this. Why am I CEO of feeling bad?
Exactly. Oh,
we all do it.
Yeah. And after I learned that, what I did was just practice making sure I didn't do it to the next relationship I was, or took the way that that person made me feel in the relationship and then throw it back into the next relationship. 'Cause I was so used to getting that I was like, how come that's not in this relationship? So maybe the right thing to do is put that kind of insecurity on him. Like,
right.
It's so weird how past situations or things that have built you up to losing your trust on certain situations, how it interferes in your life and creates fear for ongoing situations.
It's a vicious cycle. Exactly what you were saying. It was like a telephone of emotions. It's like you would do it to this person because somebody did it to you. Someone had done it to them. And then you've got to like break the cycle. It's the same thing of, you know, someone going to therapy for the first time, if their whole lineage is very against it, it's like you're doing the one thing that changes, or else you're just going to follow in suit of everything that's been modeled before you. And you got to be the one.
Like, why do you think things are going to go differently if you continue doing the same thing, like hoping for a different result when it all starts from you?
Mm-hmm.
We're preaching today.
We totally are. It's taken me so long to get to this point, but I feel like I'm literally on a mountain. Like I just had a therapy session online and I was like, it's like brighter on this side. And it was like, it's crazy. I was like, those people that write in those positivity books, like they're not just trying to sell copies. Like they know what they're talking about and it's true. Like there's so much darkness in the world and in all of our lives, we ebb and flow and we get really deep. And especially if you have any experience with anxiety or depression, like we can feel how deep it actually goes. But it's so good to know that it does exist. Like brightness does exist. The other side is there, even if we can't see it.
I feel like it's so, no, I don't want to say that. It's very new and hard when you're trying to get there.
Of course.
And it can be scary because it's the unknown. But then once you do something that makes you feel uncomfortable, it's like this leap that you go over and you feel so accomplished when you get there that you never want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So having this new change of the way that I think, or how I like to say, is like rewiring my brain to think differently, because we've all been programmed a certain way to think because of the way we've been raised. So being able to rewire my mind and not think the way that I used to is so freeing.
The best gift you can ever receive.
Give yourself, like, we are trapped in our own minds, mm-hmm. and we constantly are thinking about things, especially when you are by yourself and you're at home and social distancing and all you have is the internet and TV, and your mind is constantly being consumed by these ideals, things that we're supposed to be doing or we're supposed to already be at in our lives. And when I say ideals, it's these impressions that we put on ourselves that we should be in a certain situation or a certain place in our lives because we've put these ideal dates, positions, whatever, in our way. And it's like we're constantly in our minds and we stress ourselves out for no reason when no one's holding us accountable but ourselves. Like we're making ourselves work harder than we should be.
And like, why? We all do that. Absolutely. I have no idea. If anyone listening has an idea, please let us know.
Yeah. Like, I had a friend tell me, he was like, I need to have kids when I'm 30. And I'm like, why? Who told you? Like, you need to have kids by 30. Like, if you don't have kids by 30, what's going to happen? Are you a bad person? You can't have kids anymore. Like, you're going to have bad luck for the rest of your life. Like, what?
Yeah, like superstitious deadline.
Yeah. And it's like you give yourself this deadline for no reason. And now you're stressing out to, you know, get to where you want. It's like, yeah. When you pressured yourself for certain things, it just doesn't happen the way you want it to.
That's what I'm also learning too, is I have to leave for this job this week on Saturday, and I had so many things that were scheduled so that I could finish them all. And then I was like, I actually could move half of this stuff to next week where I'm already in my relocation. So mm-hmm. why am I stressing myself out now when I have the opportunity to not? Like, that's always on the table. To be stressed or to not be stressed. That's the Shakespeare of 2020. It's like to be or not to be stressed. How about not?
And then when we are trying to relax, we make ourselves feel guilty for not doing what we're supposed to do, when at that very moment, like this, I always tell my mom, she'll be stressing out in bed or we'll be doing something and she's stressing out about something that she has no control over at that moment, at that day, nothing. And I'm like, why are you stressing yourself out? Like, one, this may not even concern you. It may not be any of your business. You can't do anything at this very moment. You need to be asleep right now. Like, the stores are closed. I don't know. Like, whatever you're stressing it about, you can't, like, that's what I try to remind myself. Like, there's nothing that I can do at this very moment to change it. So why stress?
Right. I think that's so wise. There's a saying that I'm definitely going to mess up, but let me see how does it actually go? It's like, grant me, I'm going to look it up. You know, I don't like to be wrong. Like, now that I have the internet right here at all times, it's technically called the Serenity Prayer. I've heard it in a couple self-help, I think it's like self-help quotes. I think it's on some 12-step programs as well. People love this prayer, and I also do. So it says, 20% off. I don't need that right now. It says, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it's like, what can we actually change? And like, change what you can, and what you can't, accept it. And just knowing the difference between those two things is that's where I get stuck.
Yeah.
Cause I don't even ask.
What is it? It's okay not to know, or like it, how does it, you can't change what you can't change and you can't know what you can't know. So basically saying like, it's okay if you don't know something, like if somebody says, oh, have you heard that song? And you're like, yeah, but technically you haven't, you just say it because you don't want to be the odd one out.
Yes.
It's okay not to know what you don't know. Like you, yeah, just own it. And then, you can't control what you can't control.
I feel like when people do that, and I can tell that they don't know this band, and they're like, yeah, I think I have ever heard of that. And it's like, this is not serving anyone, because no. If you don't know it, then you're not learning it. And then if you say you already know it and then you don't, and we start talking about it, and I'm putting myself on both sides of this, it's like, well, now we're disconnected because you're lying to me and yourself. And now I don't feel like we're connected or authentic, and it's really taking a toll on our friendship. Like, it's crazy. If I don't know something, I'll either be quiet and listen to other people talk about it so that I can glean something off of it, or I'll ask questions. If I feel dumb, I'll be quiet. But at the same time, I won't say I know what I'm talking about.
I think it's more of like, it's okay not to know. It's okay. Like, it's not going to make you less or higher than a person. It's not going to devalue who you are just because you don't know. And I think once people understand that, they'll be able to let go of that ego that they carry around.
That's all it is. And I mention ego in and on and off of the podcast. And some people, when you mention ego, it's like, oh, I don't have an ego. That's your ego saying that, because we are not our egos. Our egos are a part of us, and we are, it's almost like meditating. If you've ever, do you meditate ever or have tried?
Sometimes, it's very hard.
But like, one of the things of meditation is like just seeing your thoughts as they come up and not judging them. So like almost seeing them like a little cloud. And so it's like, oh, that's a cloud of thought. I'm not going to think about it, but I can see that I am thinking about my almond milk. Okay. I'm thinking about that thing I said 5 years ago. That's a thought. And you know, and that's like, you don't have to go into these clouds. And I think that it, like, you have an opportunity to not give that attention to something. I don't even know where I was going with that. I got so into that cloud talk.
I know what that feeling is, because majority of the time I get it when I'm in a podcast. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to say something and then it's going to lead to this. And I forgot where I was going with it.
So that's so funny, because like, I feel like it's a podcasting problem. Like, because everyone does that, especially when you're like, you're on a tangent and you think about it and then you really start thinking about it. And then it's like, well, we went somewhere with it. And at least we're there. People that have never been on a podcast, like, it's always like, if you were on like a game show or on Jeopardy or something, you're like, oh, I would crush it because I know the answer from my couch. And then when you're on the hot seat, you're like, I can't function at all.
It's that pressure.
I know. It's and like, knowing that this will last forever on the internet.
Right. Like today, me and my social media manager needed to film some stuff. And she's like, okay, Ashley, I'm ready to film. And I'm about to turn around and do my little speech. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. Like, I just like blank.
That's why bloopers are so fun to watch. Like, I've just like looked up on YouTube, like Friends bloopers or Office bloopers. And it's just like actors forgetting their lines, because it makes people so human, and it takes like the seriousness out of it. Because like, honestly, I do this, and you may be similar based off of like the half hour we've been talking, as we've got a lot of similarities. And it's like, we put so much pressure on ourselves when it could just be fun. And I think that's what the pandemic has taught me too. Like, I mean, laundry list of things it's taught me, but it's not that serious. Like, we should be living our lives how we want to live them into the fullest that we can, because as we've seen, life could go away at any minute, or life as we've known it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not taking yourself so serious. In the past, I've wanted to get more comfortable with public speaking, and I took an improv class,
oh my God,
anybody should take an improv class just to get through life. Like, if you need to get out of your shell or just learn how to get out of your head, that is the best exercise ever, because doing improv will get you out of your head. If you're in your head in an improv class, you should just get out now. Because like, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable with yourself and not take yourself so serious that it teaches you how to just roll with the punches when you're talking, when you're doing a podcast, when you're doing an interview or anything. Like, I've benefited it so much that, no, I don't want to be an actor or be a comedian or stand up or whatever on stage, but at least it taught me how to be more comfortable with myself, how to be more of a human, be more gentle to myself, like make fun of myself or whatnot. Like, yeah, I just think improv class, everybody needs it in their life.
Yeah, I feel I should do that again. I'm so in my head all the time. I took improv and I was horrible at it. But you're right. You don't have time to think.
I was horrible at it too.
But it's like, you just got to go.
Yeah, it just teaches you those tools to be able to, one, get out of a, not get out of a conversation, but be in a conversation with somebody who might be hard to talk to. So you ask those open-ended questions. Instead of asking a yes or no question, or telling stories, or just trying to have fun, just going with the flow. Because I think we put so much pressure on ourselves to act a certain way or to come off a certain way that we should just enjoy ourselves. And it's having no thought behind it, just naturally being what you want to be. Or this is another good one, is just feeding off of your partner's energy.
Yes. And listening.
Yes. Listening is a great one to details everything. I mean, it just teaches you so much that I was like, anybody could use this class. Like, just hearing what everyone was there for, it made me realize that not everybody wants to be an actor or, do speeches or anything. People are just here to, one, meet people, know how to talk to people. Like, it's just so interesting.
That'll be our first, before we take a break, that is our, I mean, we've talked about so much gold.
I know.
Like, I just gotta say, love what we've talked about. But we'll end this first half on take an improv class to get out of your shell. I think that's a really good piece of advice for anyone listening. Okay, we'll take a quick break right now, and Ashley's going to give us an extra piece of advice you can find at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram, and we will be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are back. Before we get into our question from our listener, I want to know, what are you currently obsessed with right now that other people need to know about in their lives to make it better?
I mean, we talked about it in the beginning. I'm so obsessed with plants that my boyfriend's like, you can't buy any more plants, Ashley. And I'm like, no, Yes, I can. Like, who are you to tell me not to? Because I love how much it feels good in this room. So I'm obsessed with buying new babies. That's what I call all of them. I talk to all my plants. I name them.
Amazing.
This is Miss Ruby right here. She's a diva. She's like, I don't know. I make up. This is so weird. And I'm a weird plant lady now because I know what that means. But like, I feel like they all have personalities.
Really?
Yeah, because, well, especially this one up here, her leaves get all crazy. And like, if she doesn't like a certain spot, her leaves will just go down. And then when her leaves are really up, that's when she's sassy, I say it. And that's when she likes it. Like, she's trying to be dominant to all the other plants. I can't believe I'm saying
that. I love that. That is, I need to have, I mean, I have two like very sad lemon trees outside and I don't even remember the last time I watered them. Like, that's awful. I'm killing this plant. Oh my God. This is horrible. I'm learning all the facets of how I'm horrible.
You know what really helped me is having a app. It's called Plant, I think. I have to find it for you. But
it's pretty straightforward of a name.
Right? Hold on. It's not just Plant.
Oh, cool. And it plant probably tells
this.
You.
Oh, no. Plant picture this. It's called Picture This, and it's for your plants. And you take a picture of your plant, and it will tell you the name, where it comes from, how to take care of it, diagnose it if something's wrong with it. Like, it could just pick it up from the leaves. Like, if there's a fungus or your roots are rotting, or it'll give you suggestions on what to do. So for any people who want to get into plants and listening, like, this is the best app to support you. Like, because I didn't really like look up YouTube or read any books or anything. I just literally downloaded this app. And every time I got a new plant, I would put it on my chart and just like, remember, okay, got to water her once a week, or make sure that it has more sun. And it tells you all this stuff. So it's great.
Cool. That's
it's your
a great
guide to
app.
Being a great plant mother.
Oh, my green thumb guide. That's so yeah. cool. That would help so much. I'm going to download that immediately after this because I got mine from the farmer's market and they're like, I don't know, 3 times a week. And I'm like, but when and what are more? I need more information. Do you know who you're speaking to? I am like down to the T. I make a to-do list for my to-do lists. Like, I need to know exactly what to do. So,
this
okay.
App,
I love that.
I should
that.
Be a sponsor of this app now.
Yes. Picture
so
this.
People of it.
That is incredible. I'm trying to think of if I'm very into anything right now that I could also help anyone listening. What am I into that is helpful?
Right?
I'll go with another app. There's an app I'm using right now called Memrise, Memrise. Mm-hmm. They can sponsor me as well. But it's an app to learn how to speak a different language. And the cool thing about this one is like, there's like Duolingo and there's Pimsleur and there's all these other ones that people could use. But the reason why I like this one is because it has little videos of people speaking in that native language. Because if you're learning French, listening to someone be like, Je m'appelle. It's like nobody talks like that. They shrink all their words together. And then you can hear little clips of people, actual French people speaking. So you can get used to the dialect and used to the accent. And I like it a whole lot. Memrise.
What are you learning?
French. That's why I was like, I can only say je m'appelle.
Oh, cute. I love that.
It's. Do you speak any languages? You've got to speak like a million.
My God. I wish. I'm not that talented. Being dyslexic, you only learn how to one language, and that's English. But no, I do. I understand Spanish, everything. But when it comes to talking, I'm not very fluent in it. So when I'm having a conversation with somebody, it's mostly Spanglish. But I have to think of the way my mother would say it in order for me to speak it, because I don't know how to read it or write it or anything like that. So I can't visually see it. I just have to kind of picture how my mom would say it, and then I can say it.
So, oh, that's so exciting though.
I know.
I wish my parents could speak different languages. That would be so cool.
It's great, right? But now you're learning it, which is great because the older you get, the harder it is. Mm-hmm. So kudos and to then you for learning.
I will speak to my kids in French and then look at that.
Exactly.
I've broken the cycle yet again. Okay, we're going to turn to our question now. We have a 24-year-old. She or they is turning 24 soon. So let's take a listen.
Hi, I'm Native American Navajo, turning 24 soon, recently engaged and currently jobless. I know that I want to go back to school to become an esthetician, but till then, I'm struggling with other projects I wanted to fulfill before I fully commit to a career, like continuing my art and painting, maybe write a children's book, competition shooting, and spread awareness of my culture, because it's not every day you get to share stories of growing up on a reservation with no running water or electricity. I feel like I've always been an oddball because I've always loved meeting new people. I was always raised to keep an open mind. I wanted to start a podcast and just interview just about everybody from dancers to makeup artists to local police, hunters, cat lovers. I know it's a wide variety of diverse people, but I'm afraid of the negative feedback that I might get. How do you handle negativity, and am I stretching my goals too far? Thank you.
Wow. There's a lot going on. Oh my gosh. How diverse in general. So many of all the things that she wants to do are very diverse too before picking a career. It's like open-minded person.
It is. And there's so many things that she wants to do, which she can. And it seems like she's a very creative person that kind of want to tap into everything and kind of see what she wants. Like, I mean, the first advice I would give her is try everything once. And maybe trying out all these different fields before she dives into, she wants to go to school for cosmetology, correct?
Esthetician, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Esthetician. So I think this is a time right now to kind of explore those different avenues that she wanted to always be able to do, because I know once you go into school, you dedicate, you breathe, eat, and sleep what it is that you're studying. So that may not give her the opportunity to be able to do all those other things, or maybe going to school and then afterwards could be it. But she's so young that she can do it all. I pressure yourself to do it all right now.
I know being 24 is such a gift. And honestly, she mentioned that she was currently jobless, which in its own right is a gift too. Yeah. All that and time that you can. You said engaged what?
That she's engaged too. She's newly engaged. So maybe she feels that stress. Yes. Congrats to her. Like maybe she feels that stress of like her partner, you know, working or her not working. I guess it's just really finding out what their situation is and if it's okay that she doesn't have to be a provider and she can go and test out those fields.
Yeah, I think trying everything once is such a good mantra, if you will, of being like, for so long, I feel like I thought I knew what I wanted. And it's only now, I'm like 29 now, and I'm starting to go like, I only know what I like now because I actually have tried everything. I remember hating oysters my entire life, but then I like had never had an oyster. And it's like, well, where is this coming from? You're just like making up what you hate. Give it a shot. If you hate the oyster after you eat it, then you don't like oysters. And you can try again in another 7 years when your taste buds change. And that's the thing, like we are ever evolving and we're always changing. I remember seeing something online that was like, if people tell me, wow, you've changed, I respond with thank you, because that is good. Change is great.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is. it struck me because I've had so many friends who have told me that I've changed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is that bad? That I've changed. I was like, we have to change. Every time we learn something, we're changing the way we move. We're changing who we are because it benefits us and we want to make ourselves better. So shame on you for thinking that changing is bad.
It is not. Like for so long, I also thought changing was bad because people have the wrong connotation with it. They're like, the way that they say it, it's like, oh, you've changed. But it's like, well, you haven't. I think that's the problem. Let's be changing together. Let's help each other change. Like if you're not changing, you're not learning, you're not growing, you're stagnant, and you're not interested in growing at all.
You're just plateaued in this one spot, and then you complain about being in this one spot and how you can't get yourself out.
Right. Change is I think it's like the best thing that you could do. And as humans, I know that we have our creature comforts and we like routine, but change is like this sexy little thing that you can't really catch if you don't like, how do I say this in the right way? It feels like this thing that is taboo and that you shouldn't be doing, because what works, works. Like it's the safety mentality of like, oh, we found something that has worked for us, so we're going to do that forever. But what happens even in like you designing clothes, it's like, which has been wildly successful, but you are able to transition with the times. A pandemic hit. This is my first pandemic. I'm assuming it's your first pandemic.
And oh, yeah.
you have like the strength and the wherewithal and the leadership in order to like recreate yourself within the times. Right. And that's such a beautiful and invaluable quality. If you were like, no, I've never made a mask before. I don't do masks. I only make clothing and jewelry. It's like, well, then you put yourself in a box and now you're not. Yeah. And now you're stuck here. The world will always need clothes and jewelry, but right now the world needs masks. So you've done like a very noble thing and a very good thing for your business and yourself and the world to go, I can see the bigger picture, like you were saying, and now we're making masks. And that is changing what you were doing before, and it's servicing everyone.
For the person who asked that question or was wanting advice on her life, exactly what you're saying is what she needs to hear, because I know how great it might sound and how much you want to go into being a, oh my gosh, not cosmetology, esthetician.
Yes.
But what is it in the world? Like what, I guess what I'm trying to get at is when I saw that the pandemic was happening, I knew that if my head was above waters right now, just trying to sell clothing, that I was going to sink, because nothing that was going to change going into this pandemic, like it was just going to shut down my business completely. And it's like, okay, this is the time that we're at right now. I know that I love to be able to help people and impact. Like I want to do something to help the world. And what is it? What can I do with my business to help? And so I see that all the things that she wants to do is she wants to help and she wants to create. So what can you do with your talents and your ability and what you want to learn and be able to give back or to help or to have a successful job or something? I think it's just really thinking about what you want to do and how can it help with what is going on in the world? Because if being an esthetician might not help you right now because people may not have that money to go out and pay for those kind of things. I don't know. I'm just, when I heard all of this was happening, all I could think about was the market crashing back in 2008, where it was just madness for all of us. I forgot what we called it. I don't want to say like the Great Depression, but it was just like a really bad time for us financially. And so we don't know if that's going to happen again during this time. Like now we're seeing people losing their jobs and she doesn't have a job. So it's like, we do kind of have to think about the career that we want to do and make the right choices. But I also think she has this great time where she can focus on herself and focus what brings joy to her life and really think about what it is that you want to do on this next journey. Because I feel like what is going on in the world is a huge pause on everyone's life, mm-hmm. on everyone. Like I felt like We were flying everywhere. We were spending money, not caring, living our lives, that our world just came at a stop. And it's like nobody knew what to do. Yeah. And it really showed, I don't want to say it showed people's true colors or anything like that, but it just showed how people can deal with change and can't deal with change. Who's going to sink and who's going to flow, basically.
Yeah. And I feel like in all of the jobs that she was talking about, there's so much opportunity for her to give back and really feel like she can make a difference in people's lives. And I think the main part about it is like her being afraid of negative feedback, because in all of the things that she mentioned, there is opportunity for negative feedback. But I think going back to what we were saying about really focusing out and being there to service everyone, even if you get negative feedback, if you're doing something that's helping yourself in the world, the negative feedback doesn't really matter because you're already making a difference.
Like, I could probably tell you all the negative feedback that I've gotten from making masks. Oh, you're just capitalizing on this thing that everybody's going through. You're just trying to make money. You're not caring about. Yeah, I can go on with it. But at the end of the day, I really don't care, because I know what I'm doing is helping people and I enjoy doing it no matter what. Like, yeah, I can go into so many things where I've sacrificed a lot of, you know, for myself just to continue doing this business because I love it.
Right. And it's, if you had stopped making, if you made one mask or one batch of masks and then you get these negative comments saying you're capitalizing and then you stop making masks, well then how many people are you not helping because you let that one negative comment get to you and your good intentions?
Exactly. You know,
like how long did it take you to get kind of used to getting negative comments, like after being in the public eye? How long was it an uphill battle until you were like, oh, I actually don't need to listen to this?
It's been a while, because it's how much you practice the work. So after Project Runway, it was really hard for me to listen to people's criticism, negativity comments. There would be 100 positive comments, and then there would be that one negative comment that would outweigh all the positive comments. So it was really working on that for myself, because I would get a couple of negative comments here and there, or even peers of mine would talk negative about me, and it would really affect me, because I'm like, well, if they think I'm like that, then everyone else is going to listen to them. But at the end of the day, I was just like, I don't care. So just having to let that go, and then not being happy with myself, like having a lot of insecurities, being depressed, it didn't help, you know, not trying to help myself, like feed into those negative comments. Like, it does, I don't know how to say this. I'm like trying to find the words, because like, I've dealt with it so much that I want to help people be able to get over that hump of like not caring anymore of people's opinions, because like I said, it's so freeing. Before this pandemic, I felt like I was in a really bad place where I was just like, I'm not inspired. I'm not motivated. Like, I don't know. I don't want to design anymore. Like, I want to be a designer, but designing clothing doesn't give me the same satisfaction that I used to get. So I started hating myself because I didn't think I was talented anymore for not wanting to design. And once this whole pandemic happened and I started feeding myself with something different, something that was a little bit more enjoyable, and then it made everything more enjoyable. And then when somebody had one negative comment, I could laugh at it. Yes. Like, to be able to have the power to laugh at a negative comment and not let it bother you is so powerful.
It's like magic.
Yeah. Like, I have this sweater that says fat bitch on it. I don't know if I can swear on here.
Yes, you can.
It says that on there. And every time I wear that sweater, I feel so powerful.
Yes.
Because to see the look on people's faces like, oh, honey, you're not fat. Oh, honey, don't call yourself a bitch. This is power. Because
yes,
you no longer have the power of that word. So you can call me a fat bitch and I don't care.
Yeah.
So it's just having that kind of mindset on things. And
yeah,
it's so freeing.
It's for me, it took so long. And I think that's like a key thing to remember with anybody feeling negativity or fear of doing anything because of paralyzed by fear, which is what it's kind of seeming with our girl here, is I feel like the more that you have underneath you, like what you're saying, it's like when you started to do this other hobby that was filling you and then it like kind of balanced you out and made everything better. It's almost like you're building a house, and if you're a house and each thing that's good about you, that you love about yourself, or each hobby that brings you joy is like another, I don't know how houses are built, like brick
structure.
I guess.
Yeah. The structure of it is different.
Yeah, you just have more foundation. You have more strength under there. So if you have one little termite eating the wood, first of all, bitch, this house is made of cement and brick, and we don't have wood for you to chomp down. You know, like
exactly.
Even though you're here, you can't chomp down because we don't have wood for you. Like that's how powerful thinking highly of yourself and diversifying your interest to make you feel good is. Because I've been there too. And the thing about being human is that we're talking about this from a space of seeing the other side at least once. But the thing is, like, we're going to go through those positions again too. And not know what to do. And then it's the whole thing. I mean, that's the beauty and the kind of the bittersweetness of being human. But the cool thing about being humans amongst other people is that we can remind ourselves that there is another side when other humans can't really see it. That's so great.
Like, it's okay to be afraid. Like, yes, sometimes things are going to be scary, but it's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable because that lets you know that you're learning, like you're doing something different. So,
yes.
The more you allow your fears to scare you, the more that you're never going to do that thing that you could have benefited. You could have learned that it wasn't for you, or it was for you. Or if you didn't do that thing, you're always going to weigh it over, like hold it over yourself that you never did it.
Yes.
So it's like, just do yourself a favor. Just do it. Because I was against doing masks. I was like, I'm a designer. I don't make masks. That's going to be a complete, like a horrible look on me. But then I was like, Ashley, who gives a fuck? You are doing something that is helping your community. And that's all that matters. Forget about all these influencers, these bloggers, and what they have to say. Because I always was afraid of their opinions or their comments. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, like, they're not paying my rent. They're not, you know, doing my job. They're not doing anything. Like, so don't let what you see other people consume you while you're trying to do your own thing. Like, when it feels good and it feels genuine, it's going to be right.
Right. And the thing about listening so much to other people, it's like, it still gets to me. I'm nowhere near invincible for this, but every now and then it'll get to me. But the thing that I have to remember is if someone says something bad about me, first of all, that says more about them than it says about me.
Exactly.
It's their thought, which, yeah, they're entitled to their own thought. Sometimes mm-hmm. people just want a rise out of you for attention. And the thing that I think that is the most vital to remember is that that's less important than how I think about myself for many reasons, but just like as a very practical thing is my thoughts are going to be with me from the minute I'm born to the minute I die. I'm not going to remember blogger mommy 411. You know, I'm not going to remember what they said about me when I'm taking care of my own shit 20 years from now, but you know who I will be listening to? My internal dialogue. So if you get that right, it shouldn't matter what people say. Because
exactly
what you say is the most important.
They're not in your shoes. They're not living your life. This is your life. Like, do what makes you feel good. And that's all that matters. As long as you enjoy what you're doing, don't do a job just because you think it's going to make you look a certain way. It's going to make you be successful. But wouldn't you rather enjoy what you're doing than going to a job that you hate doing?
Yeah. And I think that's what's so exciting with all of her time. And she mentioned that she wanted to do podcasts and write a children's book and art and paintings. Like, these are things that feed your soul. And like, you can, the cool thing about it is you can change your mind any day. You can change what you do any day. So
exactly.
Knowing that, just complete freedom to go hog wild and figure out what feeds you and brings you joy. And then that'll take you down roads that you didn't even plan on, didn't even list here, especially with how open-minded she is already. Like, I'm excited to see her at 29, her being 24 right now with all of these goals.
Exactly. I mean, exciting. If I could go back and look at myself when I was 24 and been like, just chill out, Ashley. Because you said you're 29, right?
Yeah.
I just turned 29 a couple weeks ago. So it's like, you're like, okay, now this is adult. You thought adulthood was back then. It's like, no, it's now and moving forward. Like,
I literally feel like I just started my life this year. Crazy. Right? It's insane. Because when you're 25, you're like, oh my God, I'm 25. I'm almost 30. I had it figured out. Well, I guess it's like you think you have it figured out in your early 20s. And then at 25, you're like, I think I had this wrong. And then like towards like 27, 28, you're like, oh, shit's getting bad. And then by 29, you're like, oh, okay. So is this rebirth? Because I think so.
Oh my completely, like, you is spot on every fucking age. Because like, when I did Project Runway, I was 24. I had my birthday. I was on the show when I turned 24. And so like, coming off of the show, winning, people are like, wow, you're so young, like, you have accomplished so much, like, what are you gonna do with your life? Like, oh my God, I wish I knew what I wanted to do with my life. Like, you're already starting. And it's like, shit. How do I plan goals now that I, like, what other life goals do I have for myself? Because I've just accomplished one of the biggest ones that I have that I don't know what I want now. So it's like, I thought I knew what I wanted. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm only 25 now. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? Like, am I going to have another moment in my life? But now that I'm 29, I'm almost done with my 20s. It's just like, your 20s is where you get to experiment, figure out who you are as a person, get to do all these crazy things. You get to build moments of regret and experiences and learn and all this stuff. Like, enjoy your 20s, because your 30s, no, I'm just kidding, it's going to be a whole different game.
Exactly. I mean, I think the only thing that would be like, I don't know how to address that, because all of these things are, she does have so much time. She has so much opportunity to do all this stuff, but the currently jobless thing, it's like, how do I pay for all this stuff in order to see if I like it or not? I feel like there's so many things on YouTube, so many, kind of resources that are free to us on the internet.
Exactly. It's how smart or how creative you get with the supplies or the things that you have. Mm-hmm. So YouTube is your best friend, you know, taking these free courses that a lot of people are doing. Like, for instance, I just found out that Patrick Starr, not Jeffree Star. Whew, let's get that straight. Patrick Starr was doing free makeup classes. And awesome. He was like, it's free. It's a Zoom call. You get to talk to me. You get to ask me all these questions. So it's basically having your ear to the ground and being aware and going to your sources and just being useful and not like a victim of like, I can't do this because I don't have X, Y, and Z. get creative, be helpful. Don't stop yourself just because you don't have something.
Yeah, I feel like, especially now, 2020, and with the pandemic, it's like we have, I mean, if you have the internet, like you can do anything. You, yes. I think you could, I've learned how to do so many things off of YouTube. It is crazy. I learned how to dance off YouTube. I learned how to sew. I mean, also I'm not like you, but like I can sew something and like learned how to do that off of YouTube. So I think everything is in your favor right now. And mm-hmm. as long as you don't let the negativity get to you, I don't think you're stretching your goals too far because you can change what you want to do at any given time. If something exactly. you try for something, you didn't like it, move on. You have it, even from your voicemail, you had like 7 to list off of the top of your head. I bet you have a list of like 100. So just like go down one by one, maybe do one yeah. thing a week and see how you feel about it until something really feels like it's your calling or really yeah. feeds you. Then you can go down that avenue and see how far that road will take you.
And it's also about being patient with yourself, being kind.
That's a huge one. Yeah. If something doesn't take off right in the beginning, don't throw it out. If you're not having a good time, throw it out. If you're having a good time, yeah. but it seems a little hard, keep with it because it's like the hardest things give the best reward.
Yeah.
Always.
Definitely.
Always. Okay. Before we end, I wanted to ask you to give your younger self one piece of advice. Or like a thing, maybe not advice.
Like a pep talk. I don't know.
Yeah, like something that like maybe you know now that yeah. you would tell your younger self.
Oh my gosh, it's so hard because like I can think of so many things that I want to tell my younger self, but my younger self just wanted to be held. And you know, told all these things, but like it's hard. I guess I was teased my whole life. So just being held and told that you're beautiful and you're enough maybe wouldn't resonated with me at that age. But just having that support system or let's see, not be so sensitive, Ashley. I want to cry right now as I'm saying this. Don't be so sensitive. Don't be so hard on yourself. You're a beautiful and talented person who will find your purpose in life.
And you did. And that's yes. so apparent. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. I love Thank that. You. And the cool thing is we can tell ourselves that anytime we need to. And sometimes it won't resonate because it's us telling us. But if you're listening yeah. to this and resonate with this, tell someone in your life what you need to hear because you're not alone and we never really are, which is
no,
which is great.
Most definitely. Like there's moments that like, I wish I could hear my grandmother, you know, tell me how beautiful I am or how much she loves me or like, mm-hmm. cause she was my everything. So like, sometimes I just, you know, have to have those moments to myself where I have to be that cheerleader that she was in my life. Or just know right. that she's like passing these energy towards me.
Yeah. I think that's so special. You are such a beautiful person. I'm so honored Aww. To have you on the pod. Thank you.
Thank you. As I'm crying and trying to wipe my face.
My favorite versions of people is like them on their birthday and them crying. Like I love it because it's so authentic. And it's yeah. just, it's so beautiful. And I really loved our conversation. I'm stoked. I'm going to have the greatest day because of it. But if anyone wants more of you, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me anywhere on AshleyNellTipton.com, any social media sites, Designer Ant or Ashley Nell Tipton.
Amazing. Please check her out. Get some masks because you're helping her and the world and yourself.
Yes. Come on, California. We do not need another lockdown.
Oh my gosh, please.
Let's get it together, California.
If anyone listening has a sticky situation or a burning concern, call us at 805-751-9071. You give us your age and we will do the best we can, which in this case, I think A+. Yeah, I think we did a great.
We gave her so much advice from experience.
Totally. Everyone have a safe pandemic. It's like, it sounds so weird to say, but stay safe, be smart, wear a mask, and we'll see you next week. Well, we'll see you in 2 weeks on Just a Tip. Bye.
Yay.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.